All right, let's bring you the futures on KSCO.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks. Welcome to another week on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. Hey, Mrs. Future.
Hi, honey.
How did you like that inauguration?
I loved that inauguration. I was proud and moved and felt like it was a familiar America, American sentiment. Everybody was on comfortable ground. The inauguration made it seem like somehow the media is going to be fair instead of biased because the politicians were uncensored. I'm really glad that we watched it on PBS where there were no commentators because I am so annoyed by the constant spin of the
slanting the story all the time. Huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really unwilling to allow these manipulators to
their narrative to be yours.
My experience anymore.
So what do you say the narrative? Like, what did you see between Democrats and Republicans, for example, at the inauguration? About Pence. Did he seem at home there?
Yes. I think Pence feels like a person who is proud of himself, who did his duty as he saw fit to do it, who's honest, who's heartful. He loves his wife and family. He didn't have anybody telling him what to do. He was his own man, right? It was remarkable that he represented the past administration by himself. And that, of course, is risky considering how divided the country is.
But there was a scene that you described earlier about standing on the steps where they were waiting for their black limos to pick them up.
Well, these are media.
Okay, set the stage here for us.
What we call optics, right?
Right. This was a good optics for our radio audience here. Imagine the Capitol steps with only four people on them, the new vice president and the old vice president and their spouses.
Yeah. Well, since the media succeeded in making sure that no public was there, they could put their cameras wherever they want. They had primo access, just like they want. The media is so elitist in this country. They think of themselves as royals, and they only want to focus their cameras on royals they like. This millennial world is not the America I grew up in, where people are free to disagree in friendliness. This world we grew up in is where once people get in their position of power that they feel like they've been deprived from because of whatever minority group they affiliate themselves with, they just want to lord it over you. And that's definitely what was going on in the camera angles.
Some good camera angles, though.
The inauguration.
One of my favorites was that steps, seeing the VPs on the steps.
Yeah, and so I pointed this out to you, so you want me to tell the story because, of course, these ironies are not lost on me.
Yeah, especially for some of our radio audience that may have missed it.
Okay, so after the inauguration was over and everybody had been directed to stay in their seats until being directed by the loudspeaker when it was their turn to leave.
Which, yeah, very nice voice, I might add.
Yeah, and a nice pretend democratic, but actually authoritarian, elitist place.
Well.
The way that they had staged the departure of Vice President Pence and his
celebs,
wife, Karen.
Washington celebs.
Is that they were escorted out ahead of the crowd with the top dignitaries. Kamala Harris and her husband, Mr. Imhoff, were walking down the steps with them. And they all stopped in the middle of the steps of the Capitol in a completely
circle, right?
Empty space that seemed to be lined on both sides by some kind of Secret Service. The poignant moment that I noticed was that the vice presidents, the former and new vice president and their spouses, stopped in the middle of this empty space in the Capitol, halfway down the steps towards the SUV that was going to take the Pences away, and they decided to have a moment of conversation with each other on the steps. And the two vice presidents stood on the upper step, and their spouses stood on the lower step. And it was very humorous that Mr. Imhoff was taller than all of the other people, even though he was on a lower step.
Big guy.
Big guy, right, towering half a head or more above everybody on the step above him. The four of them exchanged something. We didn't know what they were saying. The Harris-Imhoff couple were laughing really joyously and seemed to be getting along with the Pences, who were much more staid. And then when they were done, the Pences went down to the bottom of the stairs while the Harris-Imhoff stayed in the middle. Uh-huh. And Vice President Pence escorted his wife to her door of the SUV. He then
very gentlemanly went
around to his door and got in. They closed the door. And then the shot was from above at the top of the steps, looking down past Kamala Harris and Mr. Imhoff to the SUV that had closed and the doorman still there waiting for the car to leave. Kamala Harris waving goodbye, you know, her hand waving goodbye down the steps as Mike Pence drives off
into the sunset,
followed by SUV after SUV after SUV after SUV of Secret Service.
From the cars, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So when you see them from the front, it doesn't have the same impact.
Yeah.
When you
it's
see them
the top
from
of the stairs,
the
from
top of the yeah. stairs looking down and
Special
seeing
shot.
The car, it was very iconic. It was cinematic.
And a good sign of Republicans and Dems actually getting along quite bipartisanly well.
Yes. Getting along and making the point that era is gone and the new era is beginning.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, when you're searching around the internet for it, you don't see that shot. So you had to be watching PBS Live to get that little humorous moment, and definitely had the sense that the people at PBS were trying to be respectful, but really creating these little ironies.
Yes, that's pretty funny. There's also the choice of PBS for music on Trump's final send-off.
I noticed that one too. And I'm going to have to go back and really analyze that music. But here we were listening to the live
speech. This is at Andrews Air Force Base. You know, Trump is just about ready to jump on his final flight on Air Force One to Mar-a-Lago. And he does his farewell speech. Melania says goodbye as well. And then the PBS plays some music. And I don't know if this music was heard by Trump and the gang.
No way.
But it was
YMCA. And when you listen to these lyrics, you know that the people in the control room at PBS are just dancing, laughing, having a hoot, because this music is really about, you know, it's good you're gone, you know. The humor was immense.
Not lost on us.
Yeah.
And the best costume? What do you say the best costume was for you?
Oh, the fashions today, the colors were such a statement.
Yeah.
So we saw Trump and Melania, and they, of course, were dressed in a navy blue, red, white, and navy blue. And Melania's outfit was stunning. She just looked beautiful, svelte model with a very long, tight-fitting navy blue dress that had gold navy buttons up one side. It looked very high fashion, military statement. And of course, she had red shoes that matched Trump's tie. So red, white, and blue. And Trump was wearing a blue jacket. It wasn't quite as dark as her navy blue, just a little bit lighter.
But I thought she was wearing black. It was so dark blue.
Yeah, navy blue is almost black. So they were dressed in navy blue, red, white, and navy blue. And, of course, her shoes. That was what was red.
It was the shoes, the shoes and the tie.
Right. The next people that we saw was when they cut over to the Capitol.
Before you go over to the first thing in the Capitol, I just wanted to say that it seemed like one of the high moments of Trump saying goodbye was when he first walked in and he heard the 21-gun salute, and he was just ecstatic about that. It really put him in a great mood. If he wasn't in one already, that seemed to have done it.
Yeah. So, yeah, and he was very presidential. I was very proud of him, and I'm ashamed that our media doesn't give him an even break. It's terrible.
That struck you?
When they cut over to the Capitol, the first person coming down the stairs for their photo op was Hillary Clinton.
Hillary.
Hill and Bill. And Hillary was wearing purple, which, you know, let's pick a color for the country to come together, right?
Violet. Saint Germain and the Violet Flame,
we're,
you know.
We're red plus blue, you know. We're blue plus red. We want to be purple now. So Hillary was in a very beautiful, deep purple pantsuit. She looked very Hillary.
And that's really fun. They came in together. But
they came in together, yes, and they left in there. They would get caught up talking to different old friends. Yeah, they really seemed like they were enjoying the schmooze.
Yeah, it's like at one of our parties, Mrs. Future. You're off on the other side of the party.
Yes. It's because we get to spend all our time together. We don't need to spend all our time together at the party.
We have a chance to hang out with all the other folks, so that's the point.
And that's Hill and Bill today, for sure.
For sure. You can tell he was a major schmoozer.
Right, he was moving more slowly than she was.
Him
she
and
was
Obama.
Ready to go.
Yeah. Obama, too, is quite the schmoozer. He had a lot of fun connecting with everyone.
Yeah, and Michelle. She's and so Michelle, now I loved, personally, I thought Michelle, as usual, she has the most wonderful fashion sense. And she was wearing, I guess I would describe it as a plum, kind of burgundy red. So it wasn't red, white, and blue. It wasn't red, red, white, and blue. It was burgundy, but it was really beautiful. Everybody in the VIP circle were all wearing kind of solid colors. They all had one color. So Michelle Obama had this burgundy red dress with a matching burgundy overcoat, just a light coat in the same pattern, nice belt accenting her beautiful figure. So after the color purple of Hillary and then the burgundy red of Mrs. Obama and Barack, I don't even remember what color he was wearing because Michelle, of course, is the only person you notice when they walk together.
Yeah, I think he was more conservatively dressed.
Yeah, and I noticed she has a round belt buckle, which I wasn't
like
too aware of at the time.
Some kind of portal, off the Enterprise.
There you
touch
go.
Touch her portal button.
Right, right.
Back to the Starship.
Yeah, like where Iron Man would have his power pack, right?
Everyone was wearing masks pretty much too, right?
Oh yeah, by everyone was intentionally making a point of wearing masks because not only are we thickly in the dense part of the COVID outbreak, but the social distancing opportunity was just not to be missed.
No.
This is the time
we
to
saw
be on
a few
the
hugs.
Biden.
Yeah, we saw a few hugs there.
Right.
I mean, it was polite hugs.
Yeah, there's a few arm bumps and there was a few hugs. Kamala is a hugger. So go California, wear that mask and give those safe hugs. I suppose if you've been vaccinated, you don't have to worry about it. Or I don't know what these folks tell each other. This never-ending COVID fear, I don't know how they're going to get out of it after throwing us into it so early and giving us no recourse.
Well, I guess inauguration was some indication.
Okay, so then we saw the grandkids of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and Jill Biden. And the grandkids were wearing solid colors, but departing from these message colors. So they were wearing tan and white and pink and colors that were more according to their own taste. The next people that we saw was Kamala Harris in terms of fashion, in terms of what I remember.
She was a purple girl too, wasn't
and she was wearing purple as well. And it was a little bit more stylish. It was a purple fashion overcoat with just a V of another purple dress underneath it. It was very stylish. But again, that blue meets red, purple. And then when Joe Biden and Jill Biden came down the stairs, they were wearing sky blue. And so I interpreted this to be when, from Michelle Obama's speech, when they go low, we go high. So this isn't just blue. This isn't navy blue. This isn't military blue. This isn't Star-Spangled Banner, red, white, and blue. This is sky blue. And so Joe Biden's tie was sky blue. Jill Biden's dress and overcoat was sky blue. Nancy Pelosi was in sky blue. So there you have our fashion colors. And everybody was in solid colors. Nobody is going divisive on the colors at all.
Not even the entertainment?
It's time for unity. Oh, you mean Lady Gaga?
Yeah.
So Lady Gaga, you know, she has to cover a lot of bases, right? But she, her outfit, of course, was delightful. She came in to sing the Star Spangled Banner. She was the first of the many amazing artists who performed beautifully today.
Garth Brooks.
Yeah. J-Lo. Lady Gaga's fashions were delightful. The first thing you notice as she came out, she had a dark bodice and a huge red skirt, such as they would wear in maybe the time of Queen Elizabeth or in Queen Victoria, you know, when they were really into like whalebone bodices and then big skirts going
out
from there.
It's like it ensures social distancing.
That's right.
Yeah,
your bodice checks out. 6 foot wide. Yeah. Oh, I didn't even notice that. She doesn't need a mask. She's got a 6 foot wide skirt on.
She gets as close as she can, and that's fine.
No hugs from Lady Gaga. Yeah, lots of elbow bumping, but you have to really reach.
Right.
No, okay. So first you notice that she's got this giant red skirt on. And then when she comes up to the mic, you notice that she has a dove that is a peace dove that looks like it just landed on her left breast. And it's the size of her hand.
It's huge.
It's golden. So it's a golden peace dove on her front.
Yes, she was quite the schmoozer too.
And then she has really, her hair is kind of braided into a crown with some gold ribbon, and then in the back she's got like a red bun bump.
Yeah, it was over the top.
Yeah, so she did not disappoint. Everyone expects her to make a fashion statement, and she really did. It was great. J-Lo came down to sing, was it This Land Is My Land and America? It was beautiful. It was really beautiful. This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Islands. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. And then she gave a little bit of her speech. She said something in Spanish that I don't speak Spanish, but I understand it was something about our freedom and our liberty. Give us freedom, give us liberty, something like that. J-Lo, in her beautiful white outfit, had a matching white mask and a white hat. So
very coordinated.
Yeah, she was a nice bright white girl wearing white and representing the Latina energy that we love so much in our country. Amy Klobuchar was dressed in yellow. I guess, you know, when you're ladies, you all have to have your own signature color. And the only other person dressed in yellow was the Nobel laureate, Amanda Gorman. She stole the show for me. I thought she was spectacular. Amanda Gorman, yeah. She was introduced as the first National Poet Laureate of America. The person introducing her left out the word youth. She's the first youth National Poet Laureate of America. And, oh boy, her poem was remarkable. It is powerful. I think that poem alone can go 1,000 miles towards uniting this country. It was just beautiful. And she is just beautiful.
Being American is more than a pride we inherit. It's the past we step into and how we repair it. We've seen a force that would shatter our nation rather than share it, would destroy our country if it meant delaying democracy. And this effort very nearly succeeded. But while democracy can be periodically delayed, it can never be permanently defeated. In this truth, in this faith we trust, for while we have our eyes on the future, history has its eyes on us. This is the era of just redemption. We feared it at its inception. We did not feel prepared to be the heirs of such a terrifying hour, but within it we found the power to author a new chapter, to offer hope and laughter to ourselves. So while once we asked, how could we possibly prevail over catastrophe? Now we assert, how could catastrophe possibly prevail over us? We will not march back to what was, but move to what shall be, a country that is bruised, but whole, benevolent, but bold, fierce, and free. We will not be turned around or interrupted by intimidation, because we know our inaction and inertia will be the inheritance of the next generation. Our blunders become their burdens. But one thing is certain. If we merge mercy with might and might with right, then love becomes our legacy and change our children's birthright. So let us leave behind a country better than the one we were left. With every breath from our bronze-pounded chest, we will raise this wounded world into a wondrous one. We will rise from the gold-limbed hills of the West. We will rise from the wind-swept Northeast, where our forefathers first realized revolution. We will rise from the lake-rimmed cities of the Midwestern states. We will rise from the sun-baked South. We will rebuild, reconcile, and recover in every known nook of our nation, in every corner called our country. Our people, diverse and beautiful, will emerge battered and beautiful. When day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it. For there is always light, if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it.
Garth Brooks didn't really seem very fashion conscious, although he had he had a very distinctive hat on, very Nashville singer kind of.
And Bernie was definitely representing Vermont.
And Bernie had knitted mittens on, really cute. When George Bush Jr. and his wife Laura came in to the seating area, as the door opened, a gust of wind blew George Bush's gold scarf off. So that was a little embarrassing for him. He caught it before he lost it, but then it was too awkward to put it back on, so he just carried it in his hand. So he was holding the golden scarf. And Laura was the first person, I guess, who came through in that sky blue, take the high ground color, uniting the parties in sky blue, same color as Jill Biden.
So Laura and Jill. Sky blue together.
Yes, Laura, Jill, and Nancy Pelosi were the sky blue sisters today. It's ironic that there were two presidents or former presidents who were not at the inauguration, and one was a Democrat and one was a Republican. I was wondering if Jimmy Carter was going to make it because, of course, he's so elderly and so frail. Jimmy Carter did not make it, although they did give him an honorary shout out, and of course, the other Republican, Donald Trump. So two former presidents, one from each side of the aisle, were not there, equally represented.
One in Georgia, one in Florida. Anything else that was funny? Yeah.
I thought it was a little ironic. I'm not sure who it was who was sitting right behind Joe Biden, but it was really funny that it was a Chinese person. So I don't know if he's a politician, someone's husband, but he seemed to be the main face behind Joe Biden. So that was a little ironic. So I'm very fond of the way that Kamala Harris's face lights up, especially when she hugs a kid. She's a hugger. She clearly has a lot of love in her heart and genuine joy, and that is fantastic. And Joe Biden is a gentleman. So I'm very glad that we have a gentleman and a joyful woman in our highest offices now. It feels very good for America.
Feels like that unity could happen, huh?
I hope so. There's some people that will never be happy, and they'll keep stirring the pot. But if I'm the mainstream, I'm ready for unity. I want everything to be good for everyone. That is what makes America great, is wanting it to work for everyone.
broadcasting from home today because of strange weather.
Very strange weather. Hurricane winds. Well, half hurricane winds.
55 miles an hour.
In gusts.
That's pretty bad. Yeah. Branches everywhere. The roads blocked.
We are surrounded by 90-foot redwoods that are swaying unbelievably.
Widowmakers dropping. That's real exciting.
40-foot long Widowmaker branches dropping off of the tree, hitting the road.
We can see smoke from the top of Alba Road off of our lookout.
Yeah. According to the traffic and weather at KSCO, there are 3 fires that are being fought. Anyway, this is a first for us because all of our roads to KSCO are blocked. Our roads are blocked by trees. Our bandwidth is blocked by wind, knocking antennas out, keeping our bandwidth to a minimum. Even our phone lines are a little questionable.
Yeah, in this questionable situation, we're going to continue. At least record this locally and hopefully get it out to you, at least on the internet.
That's so right, because we'll in anticipation of being able to upload our download, we're going to go over the future headlines that we prepared for you today without call-ins. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Yeah, which gives us a chance to go into the stories. In our space news, Virgin Orbit had just launched a rocket from a 747. Now, that's an old idea, launching rockets from airplanes. A decades old idea, but it never really took off until Richard Branson decided to pursue that approach with Virgin Orbit.
Yes, and if you remember, I think it was in 2004, he and Burt Rutan with Virgin Galactic actually won the XPRIZE for the first vehicle to be able to launch, go to airless space, and come back, land, and do it again within 24 hours. So they were the first reusable space vehicle, if you will.
In this case, it's a rocket called Launcher One that was released from the wing of what they call Cosmic Girl, which is Virgin Orbit's customized 747 off the coast of California. It was launched at 30,000 feet, which is the cruising altitude of a typical passenger jet. And after a few seconds of free fall, the Launcher One ignited its engine and boosted itself into space. And once it reached orbit, it released 10 CubeSats. Those are small satellites built by researchers from NASA and several U.S. universities before the rocket itself fell back to Earth.
All right. So Virgin Galactic is officially a launch vehicle now.
That's right.
That's a breakthrough.
It marks the culmination of nearly a decade of work by engineers at Virgin Orbit. It's the sister company to Virgin Galactic, which is dedicated to sending people, humans, into space as tourists.
Right. The space tourism industry is the domain of Virgin Galactic. They want to take people up and have space adventures within a gorgeous scenic view of our blue marble.
Exactly. Exciting news. Also of interest this week, the U.S. Postal Service is issuing NASA Sun Science Forever stamps.
Forever stamps of the sun. How appropriate.
Beautiful images of the sun and its dazzling beauty.
I've never seen the sun in so many different colors before.
Yeah, it's got a lot of interesting modes. The Solar Dynamics Observatory by NASA that has been taking pictures of the sun for over 10 years now.
Mm-hmm. And not just your average photo pictures. Of course, pointing your camera at the sun, you know how useful that is. But it has all kinds of measures for different types of solar radiation.
They look at popular events on the sun like solar flares, coronal loops, or plasma blasts.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
And things that might affect our weather here on Earth.
Yeah, besides the usual sunspots, there's also something called a coronal hole that's featured in the stamps. It's very interesting because it looks like black. It's like a whole area of the sun that is black and it has little light dots in it, almost as if the sun is invisible at that spot and you can see the stars behind it, even though that's not the case. It's just that it's a darker area on the surface of the sun. Very, very beautiful.
These stamps are amazing and they will really pique your interest if you are a wannabe solar observer.
For sure. They look at the sun in wavelengths of visible, ultraviolet, and extreme ultraviolet light for these pictures. And they sorted through hundreds of millions of images to get these stamps.
So if next time you're at the post office, you might ask for it. They were announced on January 15th.
And I'll tell you, these colors, you will see the sun the way that plants see the sun in shades of red and blue. You will see the sun the way that invisible rays reflect off of it. You will see some familiar images even where it's a light yellow orange star.
Yeah. So you want to take a closer look at our sun, the only nearby star that we can see in great detail. Go to the post office and get a set.
Forever.
Something you might want to hold on to rather than actually put on envelopes.
Yeah. Collect a few, use a few.
Also on Outer Space News this week, there was a stream of nearly 500 stars in our very own Milky Way that turns out to be actually a family. These stars all seem to have been born at the same time, and they form a streak across the sky, a stream, as they say, a stellar stream that's got 500 members. Astronomers have so far discovered about 8,292 stellar streams in our galaxy alone. Now, rather than thinking of stars as in clusters, this is thinking of them as if they were linear streams.
Yes, as if they were the debris that's left behind by a comet. If you think of our sun having, say, 500 siblings who all came out of the same star mother,
yeah,
the star nebula galaxy.
Each stream is named Theia for the Greek Titan goddess of sight and heavenly light. When astronomers were gathering data from the European Space Agency's Gaia Space Telescope, they studied Theia 456 rather closely. Then they discovered that all 468 stars of that stream appeared to have been born simultaneously. So this stream of stars is moving in the same direction together across the sky. See, I wonder if they're twins on these stars, if they're all exactly the same, born at the same time. They're like 468 twins.
In one of the competing theories for the origin of the Milky Way, there is a belief that hundreds of dwarf galaxies have found their way to cluster around the black hole in the center of our galaxy. And so It's actually like there's been an accretion of tiny galaxies, and then each of those tiny galaxies was at one time a star birthing galaxy. And so all of the stars from that single galaxy would be the same age. And then when that galaxy, that small galaxy, started circling our own galaxy, they joined the Milky Way and became an arm.
So we're kind of a cluster of smaller galaxies.
That's one theory.
Well, in this case, they appeared to be the same kind of star. Pretty exciting about it is that they're a stream and not just a clump. They're young and widely dispersed, which is pretty cool.
Okay, welcome back to the show.
So you realize nobody has ever really seen the Milky Way as an image. They've seen an artist's rendition of the Milky Way.
Because we're in it.
That's right.
Unless we had a good mirror.
For us, the Milky Way is that beautiful luminous cloud that we see at night in the sky that's always there. But the picture that we see of the spiral arms is basically a data map.
Kind of gives us an approximation of what it looks like.
Right.
Yeah.
But all of those arms have been cataloged and have been mapped in 3D space, and they've been named, and the people who look at the origins of the galaxy really don't know whether the galaxies formed top down, as they say, from like one big cluster of gas that turned into our galaxy, or whether it was bottom up, which is a lot of small galaxies clustering together. The data hasn't told us for sure which way
it's got to be one or the other, huh?
We think.
Well, in the case of Theia 456, they all seem to be rotating at about the same speed and have the same brightness. Real twin universe here, or twin stream.
It's a stream of stars.
Yeah, twins in a stream.
Right.
All the same age. So if they developed intelligent life, they'd all be the same age then, huh?
Think of pebbles running down a river, right? And they're all being guided through the same gravity.
Ah, so if there was a federation of planets, maybe that would be one of the places where they might be, because they're all about the same age and they'd all be able to have intelligence at the same time. Because one of the problems with a universe with all different ages of stars is that intelligence may rise and fall before they meet another intelligence that's rising and falling, but not at the same time. So if they're all at the same age, maybe let's look at that area for exoplanets, see what's going on.
Okay. Which day are we going to investigate?
Well, Theia 456.
Okay.
The other interesting thing is that the scientists have backtracked through time where the stars are moving, where the stream is going, and they've looked at them as they rolled the clock backwards, where the stars became closer and closer. So they can see where all the stars were born together and have a common origin.
Oh, a little more evidence for that dwarf galaxy theory.
They all began at the same spot.
That's right. They had the same star mother.
Now, this is a somewhat amusing story. You've all heard of Starlink from SpaceX.
Sure. Can't wait for my spaceship receiver.
The internet service from low Earth orbit.
Yeah. Isn't the one that you described as having a UFO on a stick?
That was the original antenna design. Well, what's interesting is that Russia may begin issuing fines for any Russian citizens using SpaceX as an internet service.
That is so reminiscent of, say, people in Eastern Bloc countries trying to get Voice of America. No, you will only listen to the Russian voice, not the international voice from Starlink.
Yes, well, it's that they have been spending a lot of money on surveillance in Russia to monitor their population, and this is outside of their control. Of course, it's in the control of someone else, Elon Musk and Starlink, but dollars to donuts, they're probably a lot more friendly towards content than the Soviets.
We hope.
Yeah, you never know, though.
We always think so, that the Western mind is the mind that loves liberty and freedom, but boy, you watch what's going on these days, you just don't know anymore who believes what. Seems like Russia's opening up as America's clamping down, but let's hope not.
At least we're not putting out fines on internet service for using it.
Oh, no, we're just banning people completely. Can't buy your way out of that.
$135 is the minimum fine. That's 10,000 rubles.
Is that per year? I mean, that sounds less than some people are paying for internet.
I think for people who use Starlink and they catch them, from 10,000 to 30,000 rubles, that's $135 to $405.
Hmm.
Now, businesses.
But how much of their annual income is that? It's probably a lot.
Yeah. And businesses are charged even more. They have fines that amount to $6,700 to $13,000 for being caught if you're a business person in Russia.
Well, see, if you pay, you get your freedom. And they're really trying to implement that all over the world.
Well, in this case, you use a satellite internet, you bypass the monitoring programs within Russia. And that's not cool with them. They are going on the offensive and saying that SpaceX and Starlink are predatory and are geared towards projecting American power across the globe.
So well, that means that they're out of control. They're out of Russia's control.
This is a boon for everyone in rural areas. They found that even just in the U.S., that half of Americans are willing to consider switching to Starlink from their current ISP.
I'm in the percentage of Americans that are jonesing for it. I can't wait.
The can't wait category? Well, Russia, meanwhile, is looking at their own satellite internet. And they're calling it Sphere.
Sphere. Ooh, that's a catchy name. Who wouldn't want to have a connection to the Sphere?
Yeah, exactly, because it's a sphere. But it won't be launching until 2024.
Okay.
It's got a little ways to go.
Well, we are in evolutionary times. I just don't expect what's here now to be here then. Everything is coming up roses in the future.
Yeah,
we just have to get through 2021.
Yeah, I hope we get Starlink in 2021. That would be really cool.
All right. You hear that, Elon? We're ready.